When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
This is the Tom Bernard Podcast. Listen live weekday mornings, 8 to 9:30, or anytime you like as a podcast on the Tom Bernard app at TomBernardShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's what you say, sister. That's all I'm saying to you. It's a very, very slow news day, and I can show you a headline that shows you how slow the news day really is today.
Okay.
The world's most stressful tourist trap is Times Square. Well, it's in New York City. Of course it is. And that's just a given, isn't it? I love Times Square, though, actually. I will still never forget. And this was way back in the day before you even heard of trans people or this or that or the other. I guess, was a woman's name, the man that became a woman? What the hell was it? Back in like the 50s.
Never mind.
What the hell was that person's name?
I have no idea.
I cannot remember her name. Somebody will know it. But in any case, at Times Square. So I moved to New York. I'm walking through Times Square. I had never been in Times Square before. I'm walking along, and I'm kind of just like looking down, looking to my left, looking to my right, not looking up all that much, and I see this pair of tennis shoes. Mm-hmm. And coming out of the tennis shoes are very, very hairy legs. And then so I look up a little further, and then I see the bottom of a blue dress over these very, very hairy legs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I keep looking up, and I went, how the hell did you pull that off? You had to have help. The guy who was wearing the dress had no arms. How the hell do you put a dress on without any arms? I mean, think about that. How would you do that?
I don't know. Like, but it's probably the easiest to put on out of anything else. Cause you could,
yeah.
Like if you could somehow,
I suppose, yeah,
get the bottom of the dress over your head, then it just kind of falls onto place. But is the person you're talking about Christine Jorgensen?
That's one. World War II. Christine Jorgensen. That's exactly right. Became a woman, or he became a woman.
Yeah,
apparently.
From G.I. Joe to G.I. Jane.
But again, I'm not judging this person for, you know, a guy wants to be a woman. Like I said, I don't give a rat's ass. What do you want to be good for you? I was just fascinated. How the hell did you get a dress on with no arms? I mean, that's pretty damn impressive, if you ask me.
Absolutely.
Do you lay it out on the bed and, like, stick your head in there first, and then you kind of, although how do you crawl up with no arms?
Yeah, there's got to be some sort of assistance.
There's got to be.
Because, yeah, if you don't have any arms, it's hard to do anything. Did they have, it was, like, amputated at the elbow? Did they have any type of thing, or was it just?
Nope, it was at both of them at the shoulder.
Yeah, well, although you'll see videos quite a bit of people that are missing limbs and things like that. And, like, mm-hmm, I'm sure that person was able to do everything with their feet, like,
yeah,
very, very well.
Yeah.
So somehow.
But you know how pliable you'd have to be in order to take your feet to put a dress on over your head? Holy Christ, you better be very flexible, I will tell you that.
My guess is there's something where it's like it's on a hanger and then they kind of step into it and then they just finagle it off the hanger.
Do a little shimmy.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what it is, it's very impressive.
Oh, definitely.
You must admit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have enough trouble putting on my shirt with both arms, so what the hell does that tell you?
Same here.
Miss a button every time.
That's exactly right. It's all overlapped and all screwed up and all the rest of it.
And it's just a polo shirt with the two at the top. And I'm missing buttons still.
Indeed. But yeah, Times Square back in the day, I don't know how it is now. I haven't been in New York in years, and I loved living in New York, loved traveling there and all the rest of it. So I don't know how... How is New York now? Have you guys been to New York recently?
I was there a couple years ago, and it was my first time being there, and I loved it. It was fine being in Times Square. Great. I feel like it's one of those things where you go once, and then you're like, okay, I've got it, and then you go to kind of the surrounding boroughs and areas, and the local scene is much better than being in Times Square, but Times Square was cool.
Yeah.
I've only gone once for my 8th grade D.C. / New York City trip. So that was like 2011, 2012. And yeah, I mean, it was fine when I was there. It was, you know, a lot of touristy stuff. So it's not like I got the unique feel of the Bronx or whatever. Like, hey, you know,
that is great.
I remember buying like a $25 Rolex thinking I got an absolute steal.
Uh-oh. When did the face fall off on the way home?
I think it's somewhere at home still, just like it never worked.
It never did work.
No.
That's another thing. How you do that to people. Let's screw people out of money for a living. Well, that's great. That's just wonderful news. Well,
I think other than eighth grade AJ, I think everybody knows that they're fake because you're not finding some, you know, well, they fell off a truck. Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. They fell off a truck. Yes, I'm sure they did. I'm sure you're absolutely right. They fell off a truck. I don't know. Like I said, that is nice, though, getting around. And I was very lucky to do it starting in my early 20s, just travel all over the United States. Because, again, there was no internet. So I had to, if I was going to record a commercial, I had to go to that city to record the commercial, which was great. I mean, in your 20s, you're seeing all these things and all these, you know, different people and it is, I mean, you learn about great restaurants in every city and hotels, and it is really, really nice doing that whole deal. But it's not it's kind of sad in a way that it's not necessary to travel anymore because it was a great experience for me. If I just cut everything from my home studio, which is what everybody does now, they don't even go to the studio anymore. They just do it sitting in front of their screen at home. There's a producer, just like you guys are up with me right now, producing the voiceover, and it's not as much fun. I mean, it's a lot more convenient, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
See, I think that's where you and I disagree. That sounds like heaven. Like,
do it at home.
To me, being able to do it at home compared to like, I got to pack a bag. I got to go to the airport. I have to rearrange. I have to arrange a taxi to drop me off at the airport. I have to go through check-in stuff, security, get on a plane, fly. Just to go record and do a little work, and now it's like I got to come back. That sounds like hell. That sounds so terrible. I don't want to travel anywhere just for that.
Really?
I would rather stay in the comfort of my home, in the vicinity that I know. And it's like okay, and I can still go hang out with my friends after I get done with work. Not all right. I'm stuck in a hotel for the night or something like that.
Yeah.
You get to meet great people. All these famous people fly in to cut the spots with you, or you fly into New York and cut them in New York, and you meet. You know, great people and all this other. You stay at home, you never meet anybody. That's I don't like that.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, Tom. Like, just like traveling, sure, I get where you're coming from, AJ. It might suck, but I think the fact that you get to kind of just walk into some office space where like a group of people are waiting for you, like a rock star, to come just do your thing, and then you get to leave and go eat somewhere new or go see a new city, I think that would be that would be cool to do.
I'll rock out at home. You guys hit the road. I'll rock out at home.
Rock out. But that's your generation too. Let's not forget.
Yeah.
Your generation loves to stay at home.
Yeah, it's just also so expensive in my mind to like get up and travel and stuff. There's so many steps, and I feel like. You know, maybe when you were doing it, Tom, it was easier and simpler to like get a flight, get a thing. Now it's like
probably
I have to cross-reference 7 different like airlines of like what's the best price here and what's the best plan, and then all this other stuff just to, you know, make that work.
Yeah, no question about it. It was just a different way to. I'm really really happy that I went through it.
Yeah,
got to all those different places and all. Still, my favorite one is trying to watch Orson Welles turn around in a hallway after he weighed about 500 pounds. I'm not making it up. He could not turn around and we're leaving. He's walking out behind me. I don't even remember what the hell the commercial was we cut. It was one of his, I don't know what the hell it was, but that was many, many years ago. And he's walking behind me, and all of a sudden I hear his driver say, Mr. Wells, I had to park in the back. Orson tried to turn around in a hallway and could not do it. So the driver had to pull around to the front of the building. Otherwise, Orson Welles could not get out of the building.
He's doing
that's big.
Man. Trying to do like a little K turn in the hallway.
Yeah, exactly right. I'm like, oh, that's
it was so. Austin Powers on that little ramp in the movie. He's just trying to like back up.
That's kind of it. Yeah. I then saw Orson later on that night. He was at a very famous restaurant with not one but two magnums of champagne on the table, and he was by himself. Two magnums of champagne.
I don't know if that's good for him or...
At 500 pounds, yeah. I don't think so.
No.
But what a voice, that man with his voice. He was an amazing voice actor, there's no doubt about that. Speaking of voice acting, we should take a break and be right back, and then... Judd's going to come in and annoy us all. There's no question.
Yeah.
Although the Twins won yesterday, didn't they? I think.
I believe so. I heard fireworks. So I assume that means big news for the Twins.
So they must have won.
Unless an intern's getting fired.
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly it. So, yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. Judd will join us. Hi, Tom Bernard here for Livia Weight Control Centers. Now's the time to get a jump on some of the Livia way. Join Livia today and get your first 8 weeks free. Yes, I did say your first 8 weeks free. In those first 8 weeks, by following Livia's nutrition plan with the help of their expert team of registered dietitians and nutritionists, which I do, you can lose up to 20 pounds or more. I've already lost now, I think it's 23 pounds I've lost. I figured it out that if I lose a little less than 2 pounds a week for the next 15 weeks, I'll be at my goal. So, I mean, it's less than 4 months away now. That's amazing it's going this quickly. Imagine how much better you'll feel too, because I do. There's no question about it. Not to mention how much better your summer clothes will fit. I'm wearing some brand new shorts today that I would not have fit in 22 pounds or 23 pounds ago. Not to mention how much better your summer clothes will fit, because they do. Join today. You'll also receive a complimentary in-body scan. So here's the deal. I started on the program just about 1 month ago, a little over 4 weeks ago. I have now lost 23 pounds. I've only got, you know, what the hell does that leave me? About 20, 25 or something to go. 26, somewhere in there in any case. But it's going very, very well. It is not hard to do. You do not get hungry. And I'm not making that part up, by the way. I'm not going to lie to you about, oh, this is what it, unless it's that way, I'm not going to tell you it is. And I do not ever get hungry. So there you go. And the bars, by the way, are delicious. So there you have it. Join today. Get your first 8 weeks of Livia's nutrition plan free. Visit Livia.com. That's Livia.com or call 855-GO-LIVIA. And Livia's medical weight loss is now offering GLP-1 medication starting at just $2.99 per month. I just had that, I think I told you that full physical yesterday, and my doctor, Dr. D down here, was talking about how well it all works. He said, oh, no, I'm telling you, man, that's a great program. He loves the program. GLP-1, he recommends highly to people. He said it makes you feel better, too. Quiet the food noise and see accelerated results by summer. Visit Livia.com or call 855-GO-LIVIA. Get a jump on summer the Livia way.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw and Bryant.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for all your continued support, so yes, I thank you for that too. To thank you, They're having an overstock clearance and new product sale right now for the best prices ever. When you use promo code TOM, and you get free shipping on your entire order too. Get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0. Also get 50% off the brand new flannel sheets. They're wonderful, by the way. I love flannel sheets. Maybe it's just, I don't know what it is, but I do. They just arrived. Won't last long. Six-pack towel sets for only $29.98. And take advantage of the free shipping on larger items such as mattresses, mattress toppers. 100% made in the USA, by the way. It's a big deal to Mike Lindell. Making them in the USA. They're on sale for as low as $99.99. Everything is on sale from the brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels. And I've talked about this before. They actually absorb, which is a nice thing for a towel to do. Dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, and so much more. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-516-5146. Use promo code TOM, and you get free shipping on your entire order. So call 800-516-5146 or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code TOM.
This is the Tom Bernard Podcast.
We're going to win, Twins. Mm-hmm. We're going to score. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that action?
It can't be stopped.
Ladies and gentlemen, Judd Zolgad, Score North, talking sports.
Yeah, let's hear that light, happy music. There it is. 6-3 last night. Trying to take 3 of 4 from the M's today, this afternoon, at Target Field.
I love it. You know, every time I hear the light, happy music like that, now I think of when Bonehead used to drop in the squirrel monkey right in the middle of it. He'd be playing, all of a sudden you're, really nice.
Nice dropping.
Really nice, no question. But yeah, I'm the Twins, they're hanging in there. I haven't been a Twins fan for so long. I'd love to be excited, but I just can't let myself get excited yet.
Oh, I don't blame you. But it's 14-16, and they're, they're very much back in the thick of things now.
Yep.
Which, before they went on the 12-game streak, they weren't. So I'd say it's good news, but certainly some trepidation. I'm not convinced yet, but if they can continue to win series, they'll put themselves in good shape. So. Good.
Fantastic. I mean, it's great. I love watching them. There's no question about it. The one thing I could do, I have to ask you, Jen, about this, and actually all three of you and the audience as well. I see a lot of booted balls that what happened? You see guys misplaying balls all the time in the infield, the outfield, dropping fly balls. I mean, you never used to see that kind of thing. What the hell happened?
I think we talked about this last year too. Yeah, it does seem that there are far more fielding breakdowns. And part of it is guys, in some cases, guys get to more balls than they used to because they're more athletic. So there are some plays made that are blunders that wouldn't have been attempted back in the day. But there was there were a couple of plays on during the loss on Tuesday night at Target Field. And one was Austin Martin, who's a converted infielder to an outfielder, was playing left, and he went to the wall, but he didn't get far enough to the wall, completely mistimed his jump. The ball went off the left field wall, caromed back towards shortstop, and long story short, the guy from the M's, I think the score was tied at the time, got a triple. There's definitely, and Julian, who actually has worked very hard to improve at second base because he was a butcher last year. He had a couple of plays. He had one last night that I think he booted, and then he had one throw that he was saved on. But there's no question. There's more. It feels like, at least, that we see more fundamental breakdowns. Now, no one can ever replace, though, Tom, our guy, Willie Norwood.
Oh.
So that can't be replaced.
No question about it. God, those were the days. What was it? That other guy's name? He's an outfielder. Is it the right fielder at that time?
Hoskin Powell.
Exactly. I go to Byerly's in Golden Valley many years ago.
Oh, God. I still
see Hoskin still there. Yep. I see Hoskin Powell staring at a muskmelon. He's literally going like this. He's just staring.
Well, he's comparison shopping, no question about it. The 70s, man. Baseball players didn't make that much. Hoskin had, Hoskin Powell and Norwood and Disco Dan Ford. He had a comparison shot back then.
Is there any chance that maybe he might have ingested something that made the muskmelon move around in his hand or anything?
You know what? Actually, the greatest Hoskin Powell moment of his Twins career is on YouTube, and it is unbelievable. White Sox Twins game, late 70s, Harry Carey at the time, before he went to the Cubs, doing the game. I think it was on WFLD in Chicago. And you can find this. I'm not joking. Somebody throws a sex toy on the field.
Oh.
And and it's blown up. So, like, there's no question. It's a sex toy. And Hoskin goes and retrieves it. And Harry, I think it's Harry and Jimmy Pearsall. It is.
Really?
Oh, it's art. It's art hearing them narrate Hoskin Powell going to get the sex toy off the field. God, I love the 70s.
Oh, God, you're absolutely. But I will tell you, honest to God, Jimmy Pearsall was one of those guys, too. He had no patience for any radio interview or TV. No patience at all. It was hilarious.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I heard he was a major pain in the ass.
God, what could he be a pain in the ass? There's no doubt about it. You know, although I never wore a big beetle wig onto the field in the major leagues like he did. So there you have it. Yeah.
Ran his 100th home run backwards.
Yep, he did. He ran backwards for his
100th. He ran back. He hit his 100th home run. Well, and Fear Strikes Out.
Yep.
At the time, I mean, that was a big deal.
Oh, it was a great movie.
The movie,
Strikes Out is a great movie. No question. Yeah.
Anthony Perkins, right?
Yep. A great actor, as a matter of fact. But you know what? I do miss the Harry days, the Jimmy Pearsall days. I mean, Herb Carneal and Halsey Hall. And I miss those guys.
So you'll like this. I wasn't at the game last night. I was at the game on Tuesday in the press box. And I had a moment that I thought of you immediately.
Uh-oh.
So the stadium, not surprisingly, is pretty empty these days.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's not. So the seats right in front of the press box are, you know, club seats. They're supposed to be expensive, but I have a feeling that they're going on the street for about $2.
Yeah.
So I'm not joking you. There was a guy with his baseball glove alone. I would put him in his 40s, Morneau jersey. And Tom, I swear to God, it was like he was taken from Met Stadium in the summer of 76 and transported to Target Field. I don't think he was drunk. I think his brain was fried, though. And so he didn't know anyone's name. But he would cheer for the Twins by saying stuff like, come on, 66. Come on, 66. And then he would carry on conversations basically with himself.
Sure.
It literally reminded me of being at a ball game back then when it was A, cheaper, and B, you just had these, I don't even know how to describe the culture at the time. But I thought of you because I thought of those days, you know, long before it was like families going to the Met, you know, long before it was this more expensive thing when anyone could get a ticket. And there were a lot of people who had done probably a lot of harsh drugs at one time who were baseball fans.
Oh, I think you might be right about that. That's the one thing about baseball. There's so many great memories. I worked when I was like 17, I was a janitor at the grain exchange in downtown Minneapolis. And I won't say his name because his family's still around, but I became friends with a guy he was probably in his mid 50s at the time. I'm, you know, very, very young. He's a black man in America today from Slidell, Louisiana. And he says to me, when he goes, hey, Tommy, let me ask you a question. I said, yeah, what's going on? He goes, I've never been to a baseball game. You want to go to a baseball game? I said, well, yeah, I can get some tickets, actually, because I know some people at different spots. He said, oh, man, I'd love it. So I got us seats right, literally, behind the plate, but right in the middle. So you could look to the left, the right. You could look up. You could look down. You could see it all from where we were sitting, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And we're going along. It's a beautiful, sunny day and all the rest of it. He goes, hey, Tommy, let me ask you a question. How much you pay for these tickets? And at that time, those tickets were $11 a piece. They're a little more expensive than that now.
Yeah.
But what's great about that is I will never forget. Beautiful sunny day, breeze blowing. We're having a great time, having a couple of beers, having a hot dog, all the rest of it. He goes, Tommy, I got to bring something up to you, man. This is unbelievable. I said, what? He goes, how much did you pay for these tickets? I said, $11. He goes, $11 and no shelter. He needed some shelter from
you
the sun.
You wanted some shelter? Oh, wow.
I will never forget it. God, I love that man. He was, oh, what a great guy. Just a wonderful human being. $11 and no shelter.
the steep price at the time of $11 for a ticket.
Oh, it was. Oh, absolutely. You could get a ticket for a couple of bucks back then.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore.
No. Although, again, I think the getting price to Target Field right now is probably about as cheap as you can get, as long as you're not buying it directly from the Twins.
That might have been the game, by the way.
Yeah.
It might have been the game, Kent Herbeck's first plate appearance as a Minnesota Twin. What was that, 82?
81.
81. There you go. Okay.
Yep.
So it had
last year in the Met.
There you have it, ladies and
gentlemen. Late season game?
That's right. That's right. It was.
Because he got called up late in the 81 season wearing number 26.
Yep.
Homered off of George Frazier, who had become his teammate on the 87 World Series team at Yankee Stadium, and then made his debut, or his home debut here. So yeah, must have been September of 81.
I will tell you, I will never forget it, because Bob Casey, the stadium announcer at the time, Kent Herbeck's first plate appearance, as you said, wearing number 26, first plate appearance. Ladies and gentlemen, at the plate, number 26, Kent Raybeck.
Oh, no.
He called him Kent Raybeck. I will never forget that.
Bob.
It's not Ray. H-R-B-E-K. Raybeck. No.
What a treasure.
Oh, he was wonderful. Like I said, I would be in the Skyway system in downtown Minneapolis. He'd be three blocks away. Bernard! I'm like, oh, Bob Casey.
What a treasure he was.
He was. Yep, he was.
And the Metrodome, you know, with the pocket thing and the no smoking. God.
Yes.
I would say he took off. He was well known to Twins fans at the Met Stadium, but I would say he took off popularity-wise at the Metrodome, wouldn't you?
When he started yelling at the crowd, because people start throwing things on the field, cut it out! Yeah. He started yelling
at people.
The Knobloch
thing, which we just celebrated the anniversary of Knobloch coming back with the Yankees playing left, and I think it was a college night at the Metrodome, and the hot dogs were, what, $1 a piece? And they were pelting him with hot dogs, and TK went out to left to try and stop it, and Bob gets on the PA says, this is a championship event, now stop that!
I will never forget it. I know, it was, what an era that was. It was wonderful.
Oh, there are some wild times, that's for sure.
No question about it.
But yeah, the characters, I think the characters around the ballpark are largely, unfortunately, gone.
Yeah, seems like it. It does seem like it.
It's a little too expensive now, and the culture is very, very different. There was, the Metrodome, you had that rally room in right field, which was basically the press room for football, where from like the four through the six, it was three for ones.
God, isn't that amazing?
Unlike Heineken. Good stuff. I did it a few times.
That's pretty good. And another special thing about that Metrodome had the Nazi symbol at the very center of the roof.
Yeah, that's what you said. Yeah. I didn't.
You remember that, Tevin,
well,
don't you?
Because you're talking about where all of like the padding came together. Yeah, it didn't look great.
I never picked up on it.
Oh, you never did?
No.
It all came together and formed the Nazi symbol.
Oh, boy. It's
like, and they did change it, didn't they, Tevin? After a while, they kind of refigured it.
I believe so, because, it was. Yeah. I remember people, that was what they used to talk about, was, it came together. And it wasn't necessarily a very distinct Nazi symbol, I guess. So you had to use your imagination a little bit, but, it was close
pretty
enough.
It was pretty good.
The only stadium where everyone was so proud because it came in so far under budget.
54 million, is that what it was?
And it looked like it.
Who does?
And it looked like it, yes.
And you think about it now, who brags about, we built this cheap-ass stadium?
That's Minnesota for you right there. That's a typical Minnesota thing. And look, I was born and raised there. I love Minnesota. I got many friends. But that is such a Minnesota move. Look how we just kept the price down.
Like, and I remember reading about it at the time, and I was a kid, and I'm like, oh, that's very impressive. And now I think, what the hell are you talking about? It's not impressive. You literally exactly. are like, yeah, we cut some corners. You know, no air conditioning to start. Let's see how that works while people are puking, you know, during a Vikings preseason game because nobody can breathe.
Tevin and AJ, you're too young to remember. It was so, it was an oven in there the first, what, 2 years?
Yeah, I think it was the first 2 years.
God,
and the ball and the ball jumped out of the park because it was just because of the heat. But it was the most ridiculous. But it was the most ridiculous thing. So the theory was, well, the stadium's built below ground, and heat rises, so this place won't get hot.
Uh huh.
An enclosed stadium with, you know, potentially for a Vikings game, 50,000 people, and it wasn't going to get hot. Oh,
yeah, you're right. All right, Pally, another brilliant report. Look at all the great stuff we covered.
Yeah, and by the way, AJ, traveling when you're young is great. You should be very excited to travel right now.
I hate
Tom and I, we've traveled. I'm good now. But when I was in my like 20s and 30s, I loved to travel.
Let me put it this way. So the Twins win the World Series in 1989. The KQ Morning Show goes to Yankee Stadium for the season opener in 1987.
88, yep.
So we go to 88. Season, first game is at Yankee Stadium in New York, right?
Yep, yep.
We're doing the show from the ABC studios in downtown Manhattan. We're doing the show. And I am told that Howard Cosell is in the next booth. So I go, oh, I got to go and I got to see if he'll come on the show. I mean, it's the first game of the season. Howard Cosell, we just won the World Series last year, blah, 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 blah. I go in and he looks up and he goes, may I help you? I said, yeah, Mr. Cosell, I would like, you can call me Howard. I said, okay, Howard, the KQ Morning Show of Minneapolis, Minnesota. We'd love to have you on as a special guest. It's the first game of the season. We're at the Yankee Stadium. To have you on would be such an honor. About 10-second pause, and he did not use the shortened version. He said, why don't you go F yourself? I was like, oh, okay, Howard.
Oh, man, I wish you had that on tape.
I wish I had it on tape. He told me to go F myself, but he didn't say F yourself. Yeah, I will tell you that.
The truculence of your question.
The truculence of your question.
All right. See you guys Tuesday.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Judd. Judd Zalgad, Score North, ladies and gentlemen. Take a break. Be right back. Chris Eggert will join us right after this. Minnesota business owners pay too much in taxes. You know that. You don't have to take my word for it either. The Tax Foundation has just released its State Business Tax Climate Index. And Minnesota's near the bottom with the 45th worst tax climate in the United States. Does not surprise me. When you expand or relocate your business to Sioux Falls, you'll be basking in the second-best tax climate. I thought it was the best, but it's the second-best tax climate in the nation. That's just one reason why no matter what size business you own, you can increase your profits in Sioux Falls. We've got the proof at SiouxFallsDevelopment.com. In Sioux Falls are safe streets, award-winning schools, that's very important, by the way, short commutes, vibrant growing downtown, and pro-business attitude are all very attractive reasons to make your move. And we've got a motivated workforce that's ready to help your business grow. Good people to hire, that's very important. Escape the high taxes of Minnesota by planning your expansion or relocation to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. 2024 is the time to make your move to Sioux Falls. Check out SiouxFallsDevelopment.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I've been tracking the weather in Minnesota for a long time. I'm 5 Eyewitness News Chief Meteorologist Ken Barlow. And in the morning, I've got to be right, because my forecast affects your family's entire day. And in the evening, you can count on my friend, Ren.
That's right, Ken. I'm 5 Eyewitness News Evening Meteorologist, Ren Clare. And as a Minnesotan, I know our weather can be tricky. Throughout the day and into the night, I've got you covered with an accurate forecast to help keep your family safe and ready for any weather.
And don't forget, no matter how things change or what time of day, you'll always get our forecast first. At the start of every newscast on 5 Eyewitness News. Start your day with me, Ken Barlow.
And wrap up your day with me, Ren Clare.
Because 5 Eyewitness News is always tracking our weather, so you're always alerted first. It's why 5 Eyewitness News is Minnesota's weather authority.
K&L Surplus and Ammo, Lana Lakes, my choice for firearms and ammunition. Why? Because Jim, the owner, is a friend of mine, really good guy, very knowledgeable. Jim is one of the most knowledgeable people in the business, as a matter of fact, and is great at getting you the right firearm for your needs. K&L Surplus and Ammo also works with local groups on raffles, auction fundraisers. If your group has a fundraiser coming up, make sure to call Jim at K&L. Their number is 763-757-2614. He can put together a great package for your event and help you raise more money. K&L Surplus and Ammo is on Lake Drive in Lana Lakes and open Tuesday through Saturday. You can reach them by phone at 763-757-2614, or you can also visit them online at www.klgunstore.com.
You're listening to the Tom Bernard Podcast.
We are back. Channel 5's Chris Eggert, brought to you by Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. Call Josh today for your free 48-minute evaluation, 952-925-5608. What's going on, Chrissy?
Happy Thursday. What's going on, gents?
Happy Thursday to you. Things are wonderful.
Are they?
Yes. No
question. What's your countdown to coming back, Tommy?
2 weeks from today.
2 weeks?
Yep. We're leaving 2 weeks from today. We're driving back, so it'll take a couple of days. But that's a long weekend anyway because of Memorial Day, so that's good.
Where do you stay? What's your halfway point?
I don't know. Catherine knows all that stuff. She tracks all. I know we stay basically in northern Florida or southern Georgia.
Okay.
And then the second day we stay just south of Chicago.
Gotcha.
So then on the third day we can just drive from Chicago home and we're good to go.
Have that last day be a little bit shorter day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Because as far as going along, well, Catherine likes to drive. She does not like it when I drive. I don't know why, because I'm not aggressive or anything behind the wheel.
I wouldn't imagine.
Yeah. Oh, Tevin's getting a laugh out of that one. So
I'm just imagining you screaming at everybody that's on the road, just calling them all sugar tits and candy asses.
Got to roll down the window to do it, though.
Yeah.
You have to. You sugar tit. Get out of my way, damn it.
Yeah, you got it. Guys got to watch that stuff anymore, man.
You do.
People are. Go ahead, Tom.
Back when it was Highway 12, it was not 394 yet, it was Highway 12.
Yep.
This guy's just being a horrible driver, just a pain in the ass. Matter of fact, there used to be a light right in front of the Lincoln Dell on Highway 12. Obviously, it's a freeway now, so there's no light there anymore.
Yep.
But this guy's cutting me off, and he's doing this. I'm honking the horn. I'm rolling the window down, screaming at the guy, and blah, blah, blah. We get to the red light. I'm getting out of the car. The guy in the car next to me gets out of his car and hands me a pipe. I said, no, I'll get back in the car. Here's your pipe back. He gives me a pipe.
Yikes.
How great is that? Oh, what a great memory that is. He was more pissed off than I was. It was wonderful.
Man, that reminds me. One of my buddies and I in college got pummeled by these townie guys. It was late in the evening. Early morning, and I don't know, we come up to a light and these guys were looking at us and we were not smart enough at that point to just not look back or whatever. So next thing you know, these dudes are chasing us through the side streets. Like, I'm like, oh my God, like this, nothing about this is going to end well. Try to get away from them. they kind of cut us off so we couldn't turn around. And so we're like, oh crap, here we go. And my buddy's a football player. Like, I'm a basketball player. So I'm like, I'll let the football player go. He's got this.
All right.
And guy walks over to the car. Buddy rolls down his window. Dude just reaches in the window. Boom! Just freaking jacked. I mean, just pummels him.
God. Settle down, for Christ's sake.
And at that moment, we both looked at each other and like, well, we got a couple things we can do right now. One is just take that hit, say we're sorry and leave, or we can get out and turn this into a thing.
Sure.
And, we rolled up, he rolled up the window, said, I'm sorry. And we left. And that was
it's a good, well, it was good thinking though. That was very good thinking.
I mean, I'm sure they would have killed us. They were probably, you know, 30, 35 years old. And we were, you know, just young in college. And that just made me think of that, Tom, the whole pipe thing. Cause sure. I'm like, we can take these guys. And then when it came right down to it, no, not so much.
Well, maybe not. I thought we might, but maybe we can't. I'm not
maybe
sure.
Maybe we can't. Maybe we can't.
What the hell? It all works out in the end. Any big news we should know about?
Well, they're going to try to pin down the future for the old Kmart site in Minneapolis. The much discussed and debated Kmart site on Lake and Nicollet. Yeah. I'm a little underwhelmed at kind of what the main plan seems to be right now is it's going to be like a green space with a road through it.
Okay. They really came along. You know, my build that building is my favorite Kmart building of all time because I used to do a lot of voiceover right there on 26th and Nicollet.
Yeah.
You know, there was a big voice of creative was the name of the creative audio.
Okay.
So I just cut spots there all the time. And I went through that whole deal where everybody's calling me names. I was at this and I was at that and I was a horrible person. And oh my God, he's just the worst human being ever. So I would once in a while, the Black Forest Inn was right across the street.
Okay. Yep.
And then of course you would go down one more block and there was an Arby's down there on Emerson and Lake Street. Okay. So you had to walk over a couple blocks and then go up.
Yeah.
And you had to go back behind the Kmart. We didn't have to go, but that's the way I used to go. And I will never forget. I'm thinking about that, and I'm like, oh, my God, I wonder if this is ever going to end. And I just, man, this is a pain in the ass, but I suppose it'll come to an end sooner or later. I look up on the back of that building you're talking about, Kmart, spray painted. It says, Tom Bernard is an asshole. I'm like, ouch. Oh, great. Okay. I feel much better now.
Oh, man.
I will never on they that very Kmart.
They should have kept the Kmart up just for that.
Just for that.
The Historic Preservation Society should have stepped in.
I'm working through it. I don't have to worry about that. They're not really serious. Tom Bernard's an asshole. Oh, I guess they are serious. Never mind. Whatever. Whatever.
So they don't know. To me, it seems like it's so weird. The city of Minneapolis, which always seems to be taking big, bold steps and saying bold things and doing bold things and wants to be a model for the nation, that they're just going to put a street through there and fill it up with some green space on either side.
After all that.
Nothing controversial. I mean, to me, it is like nothing controversial about that. We're just going to let the street go through and nobody can be mad at us about that, right? I don't know. It's
unbelievable.
I guess we'll see what happens, but.
All of that talk for all of those years, and that's what you came up with.
I mean, I think I brought this up last time we talked about this, but that idea of that complex that was built there at the time, way back in the day, was a pretty big thinking idea.
It was.
And it cost a lot of money, and it was considered, you know, pretty groundbreaking at the time. I mean, it's crazy to think how it all ended and what it became, but it seems like we're going the opposite on this particular next step.
Unbelievable. Another brilliant report, I thought.
Thank you. I will be live tomorrow morning from beautiful Lake City because the fishing opener's down there this weekend and we're going to be live there all morning. I'm going down and staying overnight and then getting up and doing live reports for the news and for our 9 o'clock show. So theoretically, as long as I've got a decent, I got a couple of bars of cell service, I'll be joining you guys tomorrow on the shores of Lake Pepin.
All right. Well, say hello to Randy Brewer for me from Lake City, Minnesota. Yeah. That's where he's from. I know.
From Lake City.
I don't know if he still lives there or not, but all right, Pally, we're looking forward to talking to you from Lake City tomorrow.
All right, guys, have a good rest of your day.
Channel 5's Chris Eggert, brought to you by Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. Call Josh today for your free 48-minute evaluation at 952-925-5608. Be right back in a couple of minutes. Joe Kent will join us right after this.
Hello, I'm Brad Huckle, President and Chief Lending Officer at North American Banking Company.
And I'm Michael Bilski, CEO at North American Banking Company.
As a locally owned and operated community bank, we work with many multi-generational businesses.
Take Personal Care Dentistry of Roseville, for example. Dr. Walter Hunt, also known as Painless to me, has been a longtime customer of the bank since we opened the bank in 1998.
When his son Kyle was ready to join the practice, they wanted to expand quickly.
With their additional space and equipment, they now are able to see more patients each day while providing the same level of care and service.
Okay, guys, I'll take it from here. If you run a family business or any kind of business for that matter, you should be banking with Brad and Mike over at North American Banking Company. Every time I deal with them or their team, I know I'm working with experienced professional bankers. So why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The past several years have been the craziest in the history of the car business. The pandemic, supply chain and chip issues, all causing extreme inventory shortages that led to, well, predatory pricing. Some dealers charge thousands of dollars over MSRP.
We never played that game. I'm Jim Paul of Valley Buick GMC. We knew that would leave a bad taste in a customer's mouth. More importantly, from an integrity standpoint, it was just wrong.
So what about the current market? You know, inventory and pricing.
Valley has their best inventory in years. Really all the Buick and GMC models. Even the previously hard-to-find Yukons, HD pickups, and Hummer EVs. Plenty of deep discounts. Many with factory rebates and low-interest financing.
Then it's a good time to buy?
It's a great time. We're welcoming our previous customers back, as well as anyone else that felt the treatment just didn't feel right the last time somewhere else.
Valley Buick GMC in Apple Valley and Hastings or valleycardealers.com. Car buying without the bad aftertaste.
When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours, too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
You're listening to the Tom Bernard Podcast.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Joe, ready to go?
Funny story about that.
Oh, Jesus. Every week with this.
Well, no, I don't understand what's going on here because we got back from our last break and we had Chris on. And I see the phone start ringing and it's Art. I'm like, hey, Art, how's it going? He goes, hey, I got Joe here. I was like, okay, well, it's still a little bit. We're running early. He goes, oh, yeah, I guess we are running early. I'll call you back with Joe. I've not gotten a call back now, so.
So he was 5 minutes early.
He was like,
but
ten,
we have to run a.
He was like
ten minutes early.
He was like 10 minutes early, and I was, you know, I think it's understandable to not have Joe on hold for 10 minutes. So
yeah.
we mutually agreed that he was going to call us back with Joe a little closer to 9:45 and or 8:45 rather. And oh, and there's that call coming in. So give me 1 second, guys.
We'll see if it is or not.
Maybe or maybe not, Joe.
I don't know. It's the guest booking now is totally different than it used to be.
Yeah, I'm not sure how Art keeps it all straight because he obviously has other shows and he's always the one that calls, so he's got to be doing a million things.
All right. Hey, Joe, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Joe Kent, ladies and gentlemen, his book, Send Me, The True Story of a Mother at War by Marty Scovlin Jr. and Joe Kent, the extraordinary story of Shannon Kent, an American hero, special operator, and trailblazer who rose to the pinnacle of the military hunting the world's deadliest terrorists while navigating the challenges of raising a family with her husband, Joe, a special forces soldier. What a story this is, Joe. It's amazing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on.
No question. Not a problem. One thing I do have to tell you, though, Joe, I'm reading through this. Before she was killed in Syria in 2019, Shannon Kent hunted high-value targets on classified missions. My wife has a lot in common with Shannon Kent, only I'm the only special force that she hunts. Is that a problem?
I think you're in a good spot.
I'm in a good spot. Okay, well, how do people, Joe, I mean, this is a couple that got involved in this. How do people get, I can see, you know, you go in the military, you do this, you do that, and all that. But how do you end up doing what these people did?
You know, I joined the Army right out of high school, age 18, went to Ranger Regiment, and then became a Green Beret. Then the wars kicked off right after that, and Shannon was a native New Yorker. Her father and her uncle were both Ground Zero first responders. So after the towers went down and she knew her father and uncle were safe, she did what a lot of young Americans did at the time. They went and they found a recruiter. Shannon knew that she could learn Arabic, and so she knew that she could be value-added on the intel side. And he relentlessly pursued that. She learned Arabic, learned several dialects of it, you know, proved her way, earned her way into special operations. So I think for a lot of us in our generation, we viewed the wars as our contribution to the United States of America. Like, we had to go fight these wars, and we were going to stay until it was complete. And we ended up, you know, by the time I met Shannon, she was on her, you know, fourth combat deployment. I had already done about 8 or 9 myself. So it was our life.
You know, what's amazing about that, Joe, did you know you were looking for a woman like that? Did you even know a woman like that existed before you met Shannon?
I didn't. No, I really didn't. No. You know, the pace of deployments and constantly being deployed didn't, offer many opportunities to just have a regular relationship. So when I finally met Shannon and we were connected again, we met once briefly in Baghdad when she briefed me on the location of where a terrorist was. But that was a 10-minute meeting. I didn't see her again for several more years. So by the time we reconnected, I think we both realized it was meant to be.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Now, you did roll the dice. You took both of you took quite a chance because you didn't have the safest jobs in the world. Did you guys both consider that before you did end up together?
You know, honestly, you know, for better or worse, we didn't. It was what we both did. When we had done so many times, to us, it was routine. We couldn't see ourselves being with anyone else. There was definitely some consternation with her deploying, but I had already deployed twice when we were married and we had kids. And you know, honestly, we just viewed it as, hey, this is what we do. This is another trip. We don't want you to go on it because we're going to miss you, but we've done this before. We've done this so many times. It's very routine to us, which is, you know, kind of the downside of being in these wars for as long as we were.
Joe, did you and Shannon both understand that it could have ended up the way it did indeed end up?
We did. I mean, we discussed it quite a bit. You know, we both had multiple friends who were killed over the years, who are now in Arlington with Shannon. So it was part of our daily lives, really. I mean, we discussed, you know, what she would do if I was killed on the two previous deployments I did when we were married and had kids together. You know, as much as I didn't want to talk about it, we talked about it before she left as well. We knew it was very possible, but it was almost just a routine. We knew it was possible, but it was so routine to us that I don't know if we fully grasped it.
Very, very sad story. I do have to say one thing, though, to change the subject a bit, because it is such a sad story to talk about. We're talking to Joe Kent about Send Me, the True Story of a Mother at War by Marty Scoveland Jr. and Joe Kent. I'm looking at your picture right now, Joe. If there's one person that I would walk down the street and see, well, think it was Special Forces, it would not be you, because you got this face like, hey, how you doing, neighbor? How's everything? You look like the guy next door. I love that, Joe. That's a great look.
Yeah, I mean, and Shannon was even more to that degree. A lot of our neighbors, after she was killed, said, hey, we had no idea what Shannon was even. We didn't know. We thought that she just kind of worked on base, and she spoke Arabic, and she interpreted things, and, you know, we knew you were a Green Beret, and so we had no idea what Shannon did, and that was kind of the way we preferred it.
Yes, I understand that. So looking back, Joe, obviously, how old were you when you decided this is what I want? Were you a teenager? You went, this is what I want to do. I want to be a Green Beret.
I think I was even younger. I think by the time I figured out Green Berets, you know, I was maybe a teenager, but from the time I was like 5 or 6 years old, I wanted to be G.I. Joe. I wanted to be a commando.
Was it because of the song? Don't Lie, Joe. Was it the song that drove you to it?
I think some good 80s, you know, subliminal programming definitely played a part. G.I. Joe in the 80s may have made me the man I am today. That's definitely possible.
I have a friend, Paul Majors. He's a major news anchor in Los Angeles, Minneapolis, St. Paul's, where I knew him from. But every time we played golf, and maybe Joe might have had a beer or two on the golf course, and I don't know why this happened, because neither he nor I served, but after a few beers on the golf course on a sunny day, he and I'd start singing the Green Ballad of the Green Beret, and I don't even know why, Joe. We just thought it was a very cool song, I guess.
Yeah,
no question about it. So, now, as far as Send Me is concerned, how did this all start? Who did they come to you and say, hey, look, you got to write a book? Did you go to them and say, hey, look, I got to write a book? How did it start?
I mean, so really, after Shannon was killed, there was just a lot of, you know, kind of rumors out there about, you know, how she was killed. There was people who said, oh, she was just killed going out to lunch. And so I really wanted to set the record straight for one. A struggle that Shannon had while she was in the military was that she had been deploying for as long as the wars were going on. She had served in special operations, but she did so before women were really technically allowed into the front lines. So even though she was an established professional, a lot of times she just had a hard time explaining to people who she is and what she did. And she'd always say to me, like, hey, you can walk into a room and say, I'm a Green Beret, and people know what you are and you know what you've done, and you don't have to explain any further. She's like, for me, it takes like 5 minutes to explain what I do, and usually people just don't even believe me. And so I wanted her to finally get the credit that that she deserved. And through telling her story, we're also telling the story of so many other women who served in these very chaotic years of the war on terror. And then I also wanted, you know, my sons to have something that they could read as they got older. They were 1 and 3 when she was killed, and they never fully got to know their mom. And so I wanted them to have something they could read on their own, just to understand who she was.
That's a wonderful way to, I love that descriptor, as a matter of fact. I do have to ask you one question, because the psychology of all this fascinates me. I mean, Joe, you're a Green Beret, you're a tough guy. Was your mother kind of a, did she write all the rules? Did your mother come to you and say, this is the way you're going to have to do this and this? Was your mother a tough woman? Not a bad woman, I don't mean, but had the kind of a tough side to her?
You know, she did a good job of balancing the compassion, but also I knew that the buck kind of stopped with mom. If it got elevated to dad, it was all over. You were at that point. But mom, I'm the oldest of five, plus an adopted son as well. So there was like 6 of us, and my mom was always letting other kids spend the night over, you know, that were from the neighborhood. So my mom ran a tight ship, because she was dealing with a lot of us rambunctious kids.
That's so funny you bring that up, because I grew up in the exact same family. My mother was the boss. There's no question about that. So to this day, Catherine is a lovely woman. We've been together 44 years, married 40 years this July 7th. But she has got a tough edge to her that I could not live without, Joe. I love tough women.
Gotta
and
have,
you do,
yeah,
too.
Got it. Great. Absolutely.
Joe, you got to come in the studio sometime. I would love to just sit across from you and talk about all the things that you've been through. I'm sorry for your loss, obviously. I don't know, man, what the hell I would do if I had to go through what you went through, Joe. So thank you for your service, and certainly thank Shannon for her service as well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Have a great day. Joe Kent, ladies and gentlemen, Send Me, The True Story of a Mother at War, Marty Scovlin Jr. and Joe Kent. God, that's a tough story, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know how I wouldn't react to losing someone that close to me in that type of situation. Probably as well and as triumphantly as he did. Like, that's a tough SOB to kind of just put your head down, to know what you want to do, get your truth out there about it, and still continue to like pursue your career, raise your family correctly, and everything like that. I mean, kudos to him. It seems like he's doing it all right.
I couldn't agree more, and I just love the fact you can always predict by a guy who marries how they got along with their mother. You could every time you can, because I guarantee you marrying her, a big part of that was the fact that she reminded Joe of his mother. She's got that tough edge to her. Like I said, Catherine's a wonderful person, all the rest of it, but there's also the no BS side. It's like, no, we're not going to be doing that. Okay, pal, that's just not the way it's going to go. Tevin, you've been around Catherine. You know that to be true.
Oh yeah, she may not have served, but she's got the mindset where she could have if she wanted to be a special forces. Because I've seen her get angry at some people, and I was like, thank God I have never pissed her off like that. Nothing too over the top, but the intensity is there. Yeah.
Yep. We will take a break. Jim Cummings, our special guest, the last stop in Yuma County in theaters on digital on May 10th, which, of course, is tomorrow. We'll be right back. Our very, very special guest, Jim Cummings, up next. In addition to having the best selection in town, K&L Surplus and Ammo also can help you sell your firearms safely and worry-free. Very, very important. You've inherited a collection of firearms from a loved one, don't know what to do with them, or if you have guns you're no longer using, call Jim at K&L Surplus and Ammo. Jim can help you sell those firearms safely and through consignment and auction. I know Jim. He's an extremely knowledgeable guy, great guy, too. Will help you get top dollar, which is very important, of course. He will help you explore all the options and take the work and stress off of your shoulders. K&L Surplus and Ammo is on Lake Drive in Lina Lakes and open Tuesday through Saturday. You can also visit them online at www.klgunstore.com.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for all your continued support. To thank you, they're having an overstock clearance and new product sale right now for the best prices ever. When you use promo code TOM, you get free shipping on your entire order. You get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0. Also get 50% off the brand new flannel sheets that just arrived and won't last long. Six-pack towel sets for only $29.98. And take advantage of the free shipping on larger items such as mattresses and mattress toppers. 100% made in the USA, on sale for as low as $99.99. Everything is on sale, from the brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels that actually absorb, dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, and so much more. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-516-5146. Use promo code TOM, and you can get free shipping on your entire order. So call 800-516-5146, go to MyPillow.com, and use promo code TOM.
This is the Tom Bernard Podcast. Listen live weekday mornings, 8 to 9:30, or anytime you like as a podcast on the Tom Bernard app at TomBernardShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Our very special guest, Jim Cummings. Jim, ready to go?
He sure is.
Marvelous. Jim Cummings, ladies and gentlemen. The last stop in Yuma County in theaters on digital May 10th. That would be tomorrow. While awaiting the next fuel truck at a middle-of-nowhere Arizona rest stop, a traveling young knife salesman is thrust into a high-stakes hostage situation by the arrival of two similarly stranded bank robbers with no qualms about using cruelty or cold, hard steel to protect their bloodstained, ill-begotten future. My God, what a descriptor, Jim!
That is a run-on sentence to describe this film. Yeah, but that's accurate. It's apt.
Yeah, you're right. It is one sentence. It's six lines long, and it's one sentence. I do love that. That works for me, you know?
A long sentence for a short film. It's only 90 minutes. It's never too long. So, yeah, although the film does not overstay its welcome, the synopsis might.
I got to be honest with you, Jim. Thank you for making a movie an hour and a half long. I cannot take any more of these three-hour movies, Jim. I can't.
I know. It's painful. It's a tradition. It's an epidemic these days. It's terrible.
It is. Like, get to the point, for Christ's sake. Let's go here. How did The Last Stop in Yuma come together, Jim?
So, it's an interesting story. Francis wrote it, and he wrote something that he tried to make for $50,000. He was like, oh, we could do this thing in the diner. We could, like, take out this space and see if we could do it. And then he very quickly realized that it was not going to be a $50,000 movie. But his executive producer was already on the hook, and he said to him, well, you know, how much do we need? And so they went out to Hollywood to try and get the money to make the thing. Talked to a couple of different private investors in different places and tried to book different movie stars to act in the film and see if they could package it to get the funding. And it never happened. And then the executive producer said, well, I could just sell my house and we could make the film. So no joke, yeah, the executive producer sold his home to be able to make this film, and they did it, and they made the film for under $1 million, and the movie is incredible. I acted it along with a bunch of other faces that you recognize, Richard Brake from Game of Thrones, Dawson Donahue from House of the Devil, many other incredible actors, Gene Jones from No Country for Old Men, big people. But it felt like summer camp, and we put this thing together in a month in Palmdale, in the middle of nowhere in the desert, in meth country. And it's very funny and a really wild ride. And check out the trailer. Check out the movie. Yeah, it comes out tomorrow.
Well, I will tell you flat out, Jim, there's no question I'm going to check out the movie. Just the fact you had a six-line descriptor and your enthusiasm. How did you get from... boy, we don't have anywhere near enough money to make this movie, to, hey, we got enough money to make the movie. That's pretty impressive, Jim.
Yeah, it's wild. And they always say people are far more likely to jump onto a moving train. When things start happening, they start happening quickly. So when Richard Brake from Game of Thrones signed on, people were then taking it much more seriously as actors. I came on, I think it was the third member of cast to come on. I was already buddies with Francis a bit, the director and writer. But then it's a spoil of riches. It was it went from being a very small movie to then, oh, we get to shoot, you know, 25 guns in this film and not just the two that we had written. It's like a really fun endeavor growing with this team, and it shows. The movie is really, really good, and it doesn't feel like a small movie. It feels like a giant studio film.
I love the fact that it's in theaters, by the way. It's on digital tomorrow as well, but in theaters. Yep. I want to get back to the theater, Jim. I love going to movie theaters and getting my bucket of popcorn and my bottle of water, whatever it is, go sit down in a theater. So I love the theater experience. I hope we're not going to lose that, Jim.
I don't think that we will. I think people are still like you and me, where they like to hear communal laughter. We actually got to see the film in theaters last night. They had a big premiere in Beverly Hills. And so the whole team and I went out and watched the film. And it's really funny to watch this movie with a crowd because people are laughing. And then there's a big gasp because somebody gets murdered. It's like an incredibly fun experience to watch with a crowd. It feels very unsanitized and like, kind of stuff that you can't see made from a giant corporation. It feels handmade by independent perverts. So I think people who love cinemas will love seeing this one in a cinema.
I don't think there's any question. I would love to go to the movie theater and see it. An hour and a half is, that's another reason, by the way, they got to understand, Hollywood's got to understand, one of the reasons people don't like going to the movie theaters, they don't want to sit there for 3 hours, an hour and a half, go to a little movie, go have a little dinner, have a good time, you go home and go to bed. Man, that was my life for I don't know how many years, Jim.
Yeah, and I don't think that Hollywood has an understanding of just my bladder. I mean, I don't think I can hold it for that long. 3 hours movie theater. It's an insult. It's an insult if it's anything.
Was it because of The Godfather? The Godfather came out, was 3 hours long, so now, oh my God, that movie is so huge, we have to make three-hour movies. Is that what caused it?
I mean, there's also this kind of race to show off between giant filmmakers. Like, Killers of the Flower Moon is 3 hours and 10 minutes, maybe more. I feel like at this point, in order to make a big enough spectacle to, you know, afford a giant movie campaign and to get people to come to the cinemas, they have to be very long. But I don't know many people that are like, yeah, I'm going to spend my entire waking day in a movie theater. I mean, like, to see the Oscars campaign last year, to watch all those movies, that's like, you know, a week of your life, basically, because of the runtime. You know, who has the time for this kind of stuff? I don't know. We like to keep it lean. You know, nothing superfluous, just everything that needs to be in the movie and nothing more. And it shows. It's made by people with a very low attention span.
Well, good, because I'm right there with you, shoulder to shoulder with the low attention span. You get in, you watch a movie, it's 90 minutes, you get out, you go to dinner, everything will be wonderful. Yeah, I'm going to look forward to tell you the truth. I got to, because I would love to see this in theaters. When walking in with my soda and my popcorn, knowing it's 90 minutes, they're going to get to the point, because that's the other thing. When they're 3 hours long, there's a lot of dawdling between scenes. I don't need it. 90 minutes works for me.
Oh, dude, it's bad. I remember leaving the first Dune movie after finishing it. It was 3 hours, and it's like a 3 hour commercial for the sequel, for the next movie that's coming out. It's like, now I got to watch another 3 hour movie to get something out of this thing. Get to the point. Good God. Yeah, it's a strange time we're living in, and I'm with you right there. I want to watch stuff that doesn't take up too much of my day.
Although my favorite Hollywood story maybe of all time, because one of my favorite actors, Marlon Brando, was an amazing, amazing talent. And he took over the movie One-Eyed Jacks because he pissed off the director and producer so much. They quit the project. The story goes that Marlon Brando took over the whole project, the directing, the acting, the this, the that. He turned in the film. Do you know this story, Jim, when he turned in the film?
No.
Turned in the film. Marlon Brando directed One-Eyed Jacks. It was 10 hours long.
Oh, my God.
Look that up. You got to look that up, Jim. 10 hours long. Okay, Marlon, we'll take care of it.
Can you imagine? 10 hours long. Oh, my God.
I guess there was a scene in it, because there's a scene where he his right hand is broken by the enemy, so he goes into the desert to heal up and get better. Apparently, in that take of the movie, there is a scene where he's staring at his broken hand for 30 minutes.
Oh, my God. I'm writing it down. I'm adding it to my Letterboxd watch list. Wow.
Yeah. When you watch it, you got to call back and tell me what you think. I just would love to hear it.
I'll call you in a month when I'm done watching the show.
Jim, you're a great guest. The Last Stop in Yuma, in theaters and on digital tomorrow. I cannot wait to go to the movie theater and see your 90-minute movie. Jim, you're a hell of a guest. Thank you for your time this morning, sir.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was my pleasure. Thanks.
Have a good day. Bye. What a nice guy. 10-hour movie.
Yeah, that's incredible. And also, everybody needs to go watch this Last Stop in Yuma so that guy can get his house back.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's homeless right now. We need to help him get a house.
That's a very good point. You got to help him get his house back. I wonder if we should look. There's got to be a digital story out there about Marlon Brando turning in a 10-hour movie. That's got to appear somewhere.
Yeah, it looks like they cut it down for release to 141 minutes. But yeah, it's from here it's saying they just say it ran more than 5 hours. So it probably up towards that 10-hour limit, but yeah.
They say it was more than 5 hours.
They're just like, we stopped counting after 5 hours. Who knows how long it actually was.
They did. You're 100%. They just stopped counting after some time. No question. He was a great guest. Both of them great guests this morning. I appreciate that immensely.
Absolutely.
We love having great guests on the show. Now, speaking of great, well, she's not a guest, but she is great. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah. Extended family.
There you go. Extended family, Kristen Bird up next.
Hello, I'm Brad Huckle, President and Chief Lending Officer at North American Banking Company.
And I'm Michael Bilski, CEO at North American Banking Company.
As a locally owned and operated community bank, we work with many multi-generational businesses.
Take Personal Care Dentistry of Roseville, for example. Dr. Walter Hunt, also known as Painless to me, has been a longtime customer of the bank since we opened the bank in 1998.
When his son Kyle was ready to join the practice, they wanted to expand quickly.
With their additional space and equipment, they now are able to see more patients each day while providing the same level of care and service.
Okay, guys, I'll take it from here. If you run a family business or any kind of business for that matter, you should be banking with Brad and Mike over at North American Banking Company. Every time I deal with them or their team, I know I'm working with experienced professional bankers. So why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The past several years have been the craziest in the history of the car business. The pandemic, supply chain and chip issues, all causing extreme inventory shortages that led to, well, predatory pricing. Some dealers charge thousands of dollars over MSRP.
We never played that game. I'm Jim Paul of Valley Buick GMC. We knew that would leave a bad taste in a customer's mouth. More importantly, from an integrity standpoint, it was just wrong.
So what about the current market? You know, inventory and pricing.
Valley has their best inventory in years. Really all the Buick and GMC models. Even the previously hard-to-find Yukons, HD pickups, and Hummer EVs. Plenty of deep discounts. Many with factory rebates and low-interest financing.
Then it's a good time to buy?
It's a great time. We're welcoming our previous customers back, as well as anyone else that felt the treatment just didn't feel right the last time somewhere else.
Valley Buick GMC in Apple Valley and Hastings, or valleycardealers.com. Car buying without the bad aftertaste.
The new Tom Bernard Show is proud to have partners like Bradshaw and Bryant, MyPillow, and North American Banking Company founder, chairman, and president, Mike Bilski.
I've advertised on Tom's show for years, and the reason is simple. My business is recognized because of the ads, and that recognition has created growth. What business doesn't want to grow? I highly recommend the Tom Bernard Morning Show for your advertising.
Grow results for your business by partnering with the Tom Bernard Show. Visit TomBernardShow.com, keyword partner. This is the Tom Bernard Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kristen Bird, Entertainment News, brought to you by North American Banking Company. Go to NABankCo.com to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Hey, what are you doing? Are you falling over in your chair? What the hell are you doing? Oh, my God, you're a disaster.
I am a disaster today. There's my light.
Oh, you got your light? You're all set to go, are you?
I was just telling Tevin during the break. I was it's a little weird because Kristen's usually in here like 3-4 minutes ahead of time, and I see her prepping and stuff. And I'm like, I want to make sure everything's okay. So I was just about to text you, and then I see you pop on. I was like, okay. For sure, we'll get her in here. And I think I rushed the gun a little bit, so sorry for putting you on blast.
All good. I have a new computer, and if anyone knows about transferring, like, passwords and everything else, like, and, of course, Gmail, which is my server for my email. Now everyone's going to email me, but it just wasn't letting me in, and I was like, I just need the link. And so I finally got that all straightened away, and here I am. Good morning.
I have to ask you guys a question because I think I need help with something. Because I haven't been on social media in 12 years. I just hopped on a couple of months ago, right?
Yep.
But I should tell listeners to this show because I get a lot of messages every day on blah, 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 sent you a message on Messenger. Well, I'm not on Messenger. From what I understand, Messenger's got some problems, doesn't it, that can cause – I mean, that's –
Well,
is there a problem with Messenger?
Isn't Messenger just Facebook?
Yeah.
That is just their messaging app, so it's kind of built within. So if you click
But it doesn't show up. The stuff shows up on Messenger, but it doesn't show up on Facebook.
So if you get messages and you're on your laptop, you can retrieve those messages.
Mm-hmm.
Through it's essentially a private message that they sent you. But
is
if
it,
you're going
so it's
to
not
look,
through Facebook.
It is through Facebook.
Oh.
So if you're on your laptop, and I'm talking about your laptop, not your phone, okay? So when
not
you're on your
phone,
laptop,
okay.
You'll be able to retrieve those messages. They're private messages that you'll have to, like, click on the little, like, red tab that you'll see of all the numbers. You probably have hundreds now.
Do I have to sign in?
You have to sign into your Facebook account.
But not – okay, I'm on my laptop right now. So what do I go to?
Up in the upper right-hand corner, you should have a notifications tab.
Hold on one second. There's nothing. There's blue sky in the upper right-hand corner. So do I have to click on? What do I have to click on?
There should be. There's no red tabs or anything like that. Like
nope,
in the upper,
blue,
like in the
blue
upper
sky.
Corner.
It's like
nope,
yeah. When you open Facebook, there should be. It's like a square. It looks like a word bubble. I think that you should be able to click on, and that's all your messages. But the Messenger, that's like just the name of the app on your phone. So if you wanted to just have access to just the messages, then you can go through the Messenger app.
Okay, so for my laptop, I need to go to the Facebook page first.
Yep. Yeah, you just log into Facebook.
Oh, because I've never done that. I've never done that on
And
here.
Then in the upper right-hand corner, there should be like a little bubble that gives you notifications of who has messaged you and commented. And you can retrieve your messages there without having to download the Messenger app on your phone. When you go to the app on Facebook, it's going to send you to Messenger to retrieve those private messages.
Okay, now there's, Facebook.com wants to do what? Show notifications. So I allow that?
Sure, yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, I haven't been on this stuff in 12 years. I don't know anything about this.
I just love the
glasses.
Hopefully
we're helping somebody else out, too. I know you're not the only one with these questions.
Yeah. I have not been on this stuff in 12 years. I know nothing about social media anymore.
And you know, Tom, I'm going to be super honest. Like, all of us have had to adjust to algorithm changes, they make changes in terms of format. Like, we've all had to ride through these. And it's not just Facebook. You know, Instagram has done it and TikTok's done it and Twitter. So it's just one of those situations. Don't like feel silly about this because I'm sure somebody else has this same question.
Oh yeah. When I worked at a car dealership, trying to explain to people like Bluetooth and how to connect your phones and stuff. Cause it seems like every 5 minutes technology takes, you know, 6 steps forward and everybody has to learn something new.
I ran into a guy ran into me, came over and started talking to me. He goes, God, Tom, I tell you, it's just it's tough. I'm going back to Minneapolis tomorrow, and it's tough. I can't listen to you anymore. I used to listen to you every single day, and blah, 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 blah. I said, I just really missed the show. And I said, well, you know, we still have the Tom Bernard Show. It's on. He goes, is that a podcast? I'm not going through all that. They said, you click on Bluetooth in your car, and it's right there. Even I know that.
You don't even have to download apps if you don't want to. Like, that's the beauty of it. There are websites on it. You can listen to it in your laptop, your streaming devices, like everything. It's great.
God, I got a lot of messages on here.
I have a lot to do this afternoon, Tom.
Apparently I do, yeah. Well, yeah. There's some people, Doug Hammond. I used to work with him. He used to work at Cumulus, I believe. I don't think he still does, but I got some people I haven't talked to in a few years. This is going to be fun.
Good. Like, it's nice to, you know, hear from people you haven't heard from a while. And they're probably like, why hasn't he returned my message from 3 months ago?
Okay. I'm going to click on something to see if you three are my friends or not.
Oh, it says I'm not.
Here, Thomas Bernard friends. So none of you are my friends?
No, well, I should be in there.
I'm a page, so I do follow your page. So our pages are following each other, but I'm not an actual friend account, if that makes sense.
You're a disaster, is that what you're saying?
No, it's that I don't want a friend account.
No, I understand that. Yeah. I understand that.
So I am a page. There are a lot of nice people on here. And yeah, but I do follow your page. So that's why I'm able to like talk to you all the time.
All right, now that I know how to do it, now I know. Sorry, I haven't been answering your messages on Messenger, but I don't know anything about social media. I'm learning as I go, so now I know how to get on Messenger and get all your messages. So can I get those messages on my phone now?
You can, but you're going to have to download the Messenger app.
Yeah, when you open Facebook and click on the messages, it'll automatically redirect you, so you won't actually have to go search anything. You just hit download, and it'll plug it in for you.
Do I want to do that, though?
I don't bother. It's totally up to you. It's just one additional thing to check. I just check my messages when I'm on my laptop, and just don't worry about having the additional app just because I feel like it keeps me on my phone longer.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's a very good point. Okay, sorry for wasting everyone's time, but I'm learning as I go here.
I think maybe we did a little PSA for other people out there who are confused.
Yeah, true.
So,
absolutely. True.
And you know, and I think people get embarrassed to ask too because the technology does change so rapidly, and you're like, I don't know how to do this.
Yep.
So, you know what? Just ask. We're here to help.
We're here to help. All right. So, what's new? What's the latest?
So much going on. Uh-oh. I don't even know where to start. Just a quick little note because I know we've been talking about streaming services, and this is just like a little note for people to look ahead to. But they are going to start bundling Disney Plus, Hulu, and Max.
Ooh.
So Warner Brothers is going to be teaming up with Disney. And I just want to warn people, this is going to be a nice, affordable bundle for everybody. But we are moving back toward cable packages.
Yeah.
So we're seeing like, you know, Fast TV, like the Plutos and the Tubies pushing us back to linear broadcast networks like ABC and CBS. And we have the streamers now pushing us back toward cable bundles. So that is where we are at in the entertainment industry. The basic streaming model doesn't work.
I was going to say, does that mean that streaming doesn't work? And it does. It means it doesn't work.
100%.
That's weird. Well, how did they ever get that far with something that didn't even work?
Well, you know, Netflix has made it work. Netflix is never going to bundle with anybody else, I don't think.
Right.
They're going to take other people's content and license it because they have the eyeballs because they were the first out of the gate. And they're the only ones who are really, really doing well in terms of subscriptions and making a profit.
I mean, I love it. I love streaming.
Yeah.
I really
do. So we're just all going back to bundles and packages and, you know, I tell everyone, just watch your subscription rates because they are still going to have the ad revenue. You know, you can have ad-free or ads. Right. So you'll have the couple of tiers, but those subscriptions can creep up on you quickly.
Oh, you know, $700-$800 a month to watch TV. What the hell?
I know. Well, I saw this weekend you watched a movie and I was like, that's not available on a streamer. And I'm like, $20 for rental. I'm like, Tom, you spent $20 on your rental.
Yep. How did you know that?
Because I do my research.
Right. Investigative journalism at its finest.
God. Yeah, what listen, was the movie I bought for $20? Oh, what was the movie I bought for $20? I can't even remember what it was.
It was a Michael Keaton movie, I believe.
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah. The Michael Keaton movie. It's really
and then I
good.
I was like, oh, what is that? And where is it? And then because I love Michael Keaton, and I'm like, oh, I'm not paying $20 for that. I will wait until it's fully available on a streamer.
So not even $3.99?
I would do $3.99 if I really, really, really wanted to watch it. But I pretty much go, my entertainment budget is what I already spend on subscriptions. So if there's nothing to watch on the 10 subscriptions we have, then I need to go outside and get some fresh air.
Michael Keaton's in it. Al Pacino's in it. James Marsden's in it. I loved it. Some people hated it. How could you like that movie? That movie was terrible. I thought it was terrific. Great acting.
Knox goes away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knox goes away. Yep. That's it.
Yeah. Well, for $20 and top of your streamers. And do you have cable too?
Here we do in Minnesota. We do not.
You are like a dream for all of the entertainment studios.
Oh God. Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. I've done okay with all that stuff. There's no question about it. I do like having all that stuff available because I don't like to host a show and go, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't mean I know what you're talking about, but at least I have reference. So
right.
You know, that's good.
All right. Well, lots of other things going on. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Because Monday, we're going to be talking about this. So I'm just putting it on everyone's radar. Kevin Spacey Unmasked. It's called Spacey Unmasked, the documentary. And Kevin Spacey is like freaking out about this. And he has fought all of the sexual assault allegations every step of the way. He's never been criminally charged. He does now have a civil case going on in the UK, but at least 10 men have come forward to tell their stories. And I think that this is going to be pretty buzzy next week, just in terms of all of that.
But I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Spacey was in studio once many, many years ago at KQ, but it was a long time ago. He's not a big bruiser. How does he force himself on other guys? He's a little weasel.
A lot of them were underage boys.
Jesus.
Yeah, Christ. Anthony Rapp talked about it. You know, he's a big Broadway star himself, and he said at 15 was allegedly attacked by Kevin Spacey. And you know, Kevin just leans upon like a lot because a lot of this happened so many years ago. It's been tough to prove in court. It's harder with men to prove sexual assault too, just because a lot of men don't want to come forward. But this particular documentary was done by ITV over in Europe. They were like, we have 5 decades of evidence.
Ooh.
5 decades. It'll talk about Kevin Spacey's use of power and his A-list status in Hollywood and how he got away with it many times. And it'll be on Max. So, and I'm sure Kevin Spacey will have a statement on Monday because he does these bizarre YouTube rants every once in a while.
Yeah,
and
really?
He's a strange man. He's a very strange man. Great actor. But strange personally.
He and that other creep, what was that guy? His TV show was called Millionaire or something like that. A little weasel. He was on, what was his name? What an arrogant little prick this guy. Kevin Spacey's very arrogant. But this guy was even, what the hell was his name? He was in, what was that one with the 8 guys in Hollywood? They were young men in Hollywood. And it was the TV show.
Jeremy Piven.
Jeremy Piven.
Yes. I was like,
what
the pivot.
An asshole.
If you had said the pivot, we call him the pivot personally in Hollywood.
Oh, my goodness.
What a horrible human being that little weasel is.
Oh, I mean, the stories are legendary. I have so many friends, like people who have worked with him. I had a friend who dated him. And I was like, girl, you do not date the pivot. Like, do not do it. I mean, I usually stay out of my friend's dating life, but I was like, this is not going to end well. Please don't do it. I mean, she went on a few dates with him and that was it. But, and I think, you know, he's very charming and charismatic. And I think at the time, and we're talking about in the era when Entourage was on too.
Entourage.
He had cachet in Hollywood. I don't think now it's very different and that people aren't really willing to put up with his BS at all. But Man,
well, he doesn't work at all anymore, does he? But I mean, he doesn't work at all anymore, does he? I don't think he does anyway.
Not the way he used to.
No. What a prick. Oh, God. Again, very first time I interview him. He's in the studio, brings in one of the underling stars. Not a co-star. He was in the movie, but he was not a co-star. He was an underling or whatever, right? I asked the guy a question. Just, you know, to kind of bring him into the conversation. Jeremy Piven, what are you talking to him for? I'm the star here. On the show, he actually said that to me.
Wow.
I'm like, okay, get out.
It's the, do you know who I am? That's, oh, those yeah. are always oh, like the worst.
Oh, yeah. No question.
The worst statement to make. Do you know who I am?
Don't you know who I am? I'm marvelous and fantastic. Yeah, whatever. All right, let's get back to normal humans, not pricks like him.
Okay, here's the other. Let's talk about a little bit of conspiracy theory because we love good conspiracy.
Yes. Yep, sure.
Not a topic we normally talk about, nor do I really talk about, but Miss USA and Miss Teen USA have both resigned as title holders.
I saw
holders.
That, yeah, yeah.
What is going on? Now, Miss USA was the first one to resign. She cited her mental health. Saying that she needed to prioritize it, take care of it. So you go, okay, someone may be struggling right now. And this is one of those situations where, you know, you just need to step out of the limelight. But just a couple days later, Miss Teen USA also resigns and says that the values of the pageant no longer align with her moral compass. What's going on?
Moral compass. Go ahead, AJ.
I don't know if you were going to get to this. And I'm so sorry if you were, and I am spoiling it, but in Miss USA's resignation letter that or her statement that she released, if you go in circle and you look at the cap of the first letter of every sentence, it says, I am silenced. It spells out I'm silenced. This is insane. Like, I have never cared more about Miss USA.
Because
to my understanding, she's been doing this since 2016. So, like, why would you just give this up? This is like your dream.
You don't. My friend is a title holder. That's how they like to call it. You're a title holder. She was Miss Mississippi and in the Miss America pageant. So I just want to clarify that. But she just said, you know, you try for years and years and years. For a lot of them, it's how they go to college because they win scholarships and things like that. And if you're in the system and they know you and you think you're going to at least make it to the national stage, you don't give up your title. You just don't. It's such an accomplishment within that sort of universe. And there's something going on. And now normally the first runner up would be named the new Miss USA.
Yeah.
Reportedly in alliance with the former Miss USA who just stepped aside, she is not taking the title. Same with the Miss Teen USA first runner up. So they said that they're going to name someone, but we're like, how far down the list did you actually go? I mean, are you like at number 49 or number 50? There's only a couple months left in the reign. You don't win any of the prizes or anything else like that. So what happens from here? But there's something going on within the organization itself that hasn't come to light.
All right, I have to flex and just tell you I'm no longer going to be called Mr. America. I just want you to know that because, you know.
But they do have NDAs, by the way, so I don't know if and when this is ever going to get heard, but hopefully they can be released from their NDAs, too.
We can close with this. Is anybody happy with anything anymore? Is anything all right?
Probably not. I think all of our systems. Here's my thought, though. Listen, Miss America had its own reckoning a few years ago. Maybe it's time for the Miss Universe, Miss USA pageant world to have its own reckoning. You got to shake up the systems because sometimes old ways of doing things are good, but sometimes they're not. And maybe that's a case of in this situation.
I guess so. I've never understood. I've never been one to watch Miss USA or Miss Universe. I just don't care about stuff like that.
Again, it has helped a lot of young women go to college. So
that's good.
I will definitely like that. It. You know, my friend, she's like, I would not have been able to pay for college had I not done that system. That was my only way to get to college.
Very nice. So, yeah, that's wonderful to hear. No question about it. All right. Any closing arguments?
I think if you're looking for there's a new movie tonight. This is probably going to be more geared towards the ladies who listen to your show, but Mother of the Bride, which is Brooke Shields' new movie, is on Netflix, and it's very cute. So with Benjamin Bratt, who's adorable, and it's not about the bride. It's actually about the mother of the bride and the little twist that happens with the wedding.
Is it like a Father of the Bride type thing with Steve Martin, just from, or is this a completely new concept?
I would say that it takes a little bit from everything, and I don't want to spoil the twist. There is like a little twist in here. You think like this is just your basic rom-com about the bride and the groom, and it turns out to be about the mother of the bride and somebody else.
What?
And the groom.
A little stupid.
Not the groom. I promise. She's not going to fall in love with the groom.
A little hide the banana with mom? What the hell?
Oh, mom.
What? I'm just asking a question. You brought it up.
It's an eggplant.
Oh, my God. That's quite the opening we have there.
You got to go to the emojis.
Yeah.
Boy, look at the time. I'd love to stay in schmooze, but it's... Good God. All right, sister, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kristen Burt, Entertainment News, brought to you by North American Banking Company. Go to nabanco.com to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Well, at least we closed on a classy note, so that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Eggplants and bananas everywhere.
She goes from a banana to an eggplant. Eggplants about this big around.
Woof.
I don't know where you're putting that, but, you know. Whatever. All right, fellas, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. The family show's up in about 15 minutes.
Talk to you then.
See ya.
Thanks.